Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Good morning, Paul Hamilton. How are you? Paul?
Sorry about that. Something happened in my little unit here, but it looks like we're good now.
I won't say anything that I'm thinking. Go ahead, Jeremy, ask your question.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Yeah, I'm still in second grade. Paul joining us on the Wester Hotline for a little puck talk brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda, relax, we got this. We got Paul. Happy Friday there, Mr. Hamilton. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, good, good. Nice to see Kevin Evans give you a little shout out for your hockey playing career at the press conference yesterday, huh? That's a nice little trick, huh? Right? Did I don't know. No, wait. You're a lot older than him, so you would not have played Miami of Ohio when you were at Iowa State with Kevin Adams, right?
Well, Bulldog said that he thought it was because of that open they do in the afternoon that I have, where I get in that big brawl. After I hit the goaltender, he said, "I bet you Adams heard that."
Do you remember the name of the goaltender you happened to hit, Paul?
I don't.
It's a lot. We'll have to search it.
I want to see the box score from that game. Just get the chance to see Paul's stats, his time on ice,
game misconduct,
his Corsi. What was your Corsi, Paul?
Well, the thing was that one of the things they talked about, I'd scored two goals in the first 5 minutes of the game. And then the announcer is disappointed because since I got tossed, I couldn't get my hat trick.
So you're a fighter and a scorer. I didn't realize you were that an all around player. Hey, you come on the show yesterday. You rant about how this team is too small and need size, they need physicality, and a few hours later, boom, you get your wish. I didn't realize you had that kind of clout with the organization.
Well. It's needed what they picked up. That wasn't quite the idea I had. John Hayden is more of a fighter, and that's not, I wasn't looking for a boxer or a fighter or anything like that. I was looking for somebody more of the Nick Ritchie type, who is just as tough as Hayden is, but can really play the game. And Ritchie had 15 goals last year. And, that's what I more am looking for, is somebody in that role that, is a good hockey player, but yet is, really tough, that, Rasmus Dahlin doesn't have to stick up for himself and Joki Haru doesn't have to stick up for himself and that type of thing. So I did ask about Ritchie, and it sounds like they did look into it, but, either term or money was too much. In Richie's case, though, he's younger. I mean, he's 25, so if I'm GM, I don't mind giving him a 5-year deal or something like that, but I don't know the money he's looking for. He could be looking for an astronomical amount of money that they're not going to pay, so they wound up going just with the 1-year thing with Hayden but it is something they do need. But I just, I'm not looking for a guy who's just a fighter who can only play 4 minutes a game.
I think it's, since you were talking about Ritchie and term, I'll tie that into one of the more interesting things of the press conference yesterday. Multiple times, Kevin Adams was talking about staying disciplined, not letting emotion come into play when you're making contract decisions, roster flexibility, financial flexibility. By the way, every time he said that, honest, I'm thinking he's referring to Terry Pegula, right? So when it comes to, hey, Ullmark, We love the guy, but that doesn't mean we should give him a 6-year contract. You couldn't help but think about their designed plan. Everybody's getting a 1-year deal, except maybe Dahlin down the road. And here's the GM talking about, to your point about Richie, basically we got to be careful what kind of contracts we're giving out for the next couple of years. We don't want to get bogged down in any deals.
Well, he was asked straight up if he had a
internal cap.
Salary budget.
Yeah.
Salary cap budget, and he said no. So they're obviously they're not spending up to the cap this year. I mean, I think we all know that, but I think the way he laid it out is this way. You know, they're not going to sign people to long-term contracts right now. He goes, right now, the plan, we have to see what we have. We have to see which players are going to be the players that we can move forward with. They're the players that are going to get paid. And, then they'll start filling in the roster with the type of players maybe we're talking about that maybe the people were looking for, to sign here. But it just doesn't sound like he's ready. It sounds like he will do that in the future.
Yeah.
But he's not going to do that now. And quite honestly, I don't think Linus Allmark is worth 4 years, $20 million. I would not give Linus Allmark a 4-year deal, and that has nothing to do with Terry Pegula. I just don't think – I think that is a contract the Boston Bruins are going to regret.
When do you think they'll be ready to strike? Yeah, so he is. He's talking about roster flexibility and cap flexibility and building your young core and bringing pieces in around them and words to the effect of, when we are ready to strike, we will have the ability to do that. Because Jeremy and I were wondering, is it possible they're not spending big money this offseason for different reasons? Are we talking a year from now, after a year of Cousins, Mittelstadt, Thompson, all these guys hopefully showing growth? Would they be more aggressive next year to add to the roster? Is it 2 years down the road? What do you think?
You like deadlines.
I'm a very – no, it's not.
Every single time I'm on, you're talking about deadlines. Yeah, and
you know why? It has nothing to do. I don't like deadlines. I'm very impatient. I am impatient. I want winning. I want winning now. I want winning 5 years ago with the hockey team. Like, the last thing I want to think about is essentially watching 82 games next season to wait.
I think what I would have to ask back is – tell me how quickly is Jack Quinn going to come along? How quickly is Bryson going to come along? How quickly is J.J. Paterka going to come along? Mm-hmm. How quickly is Luukkonen going to come along?
Power probably not here this coming season.
How quickly is Power going to come along? That would be my answer back.
Yeah.
Was Casey Mittelstadt a mirage from last year? That I think we're going to find out this season coming up. Is Casey Mittelstadt the real thing? Is Rasmus Asplund the real thing? Is Rasmus Dahlin and Joki Haju, are they going to continue to advance? Is Samuelson, is he really as good as maybe we saw at the end of last year? Those are the questions. And maybe Luukkonen, I think we might get answered this year. That's a big part of the core, but I think there are other pieces of the core that they're thinking too. Power is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even know yet if Power is going to be here or at Michigan. I think Quinn is a big part of that too. I think they're really excited about him and what he might be able to bring to the table, but I don't think necessarily we're going to find out about him next year.
With all of the young guys you just mentioned, Paul, if you had to prioritize, would you put Mittelstadt at the top of the list above everybody else because of the nature of the position, the critical importance of the position, and the fact that center depth is taking a big hit this offseason?
Yeah, Mittelstadt and Cousins. I mean, I expect Cousins is going to take a jump this year. And just the way he acts, the way he talks, he didn't like his season last year. He thought it could be better, and he said he's going to do everything he can in the off season to make sure he is going to be better this year. And he tailed off near the end of last year. He went through a lot, though. He went through two very long quarantines. He got COVID, and still, I thought had a pretty good rookie season, but he just wasn't as good in the last 18 games or so. I think he went the last 18 games without a goal, if I'm not mistaken. That bothered him. He didn't like the way he finished. And, he's bound and determined to make sure that, that he's better this year.
Paul with us on the Western Hotline. He gets paid by Eichel references, so we're going to have to get to that in a second here.
No, it's funny. Like, I'm just listening to all this, Paul, and I mean, I understand the spot the Sabres are in. Kevin Adams kind of digging out. It's tough. It's really tough to kind of buy into a lot of this stuff as a observer, because they could talk about wanting, we're going to see what this guy can do and see what this guy can do. And I get that there has to be a patience and there has to be a process, but, you know, so many fans have watched several processes play out and it never seems to work. And here we enter another time period where the Sabres will have a little bit of an attitude of like, no, we know what we're doing and it's going to take a while, you know? And it's just, I think that having a plan and executing it that way is right. But here's what I'll land on. Part of the disconnect is that there's never really any urgency from the Sabres. And here we are in a spot where they're going to point to a lot. Listen, we can't be too urgent here. Right? Is that fair at least? Like, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying that's part of their battle when it comes to the disconnect.
Yeah, and the disconnect is going to go on for a little while longer. But whether I agree with his plan or not, I agree with the fact that he is not going to be swayed by you, me, fans, or anybody else. He believes with all his heart this is the way out. This is the way that they're going to have long-term success for the Buffalo Sabres. And if he believes that, he should go with that plan. And he shouldn't listen to you, he shouldn't listen to me, and he shouldn't listen to the fans. And the fans aren't going to buy it for a while. Fans are, and he knows this, fans are in the show-me thing right now. And quite honestly, other than opening night, I'll be surprised if there are more than 10,000 fans down there in a lot of nights. And that's what they're going to have to deal with, you know, to start this thing off. But, you know, he believes with everything he's got that this is the way out. This is the way to have long-term success with the team. I think a lot of what he says is similar to what the Bills do. I think, as a couple people say, I thought I was listening to Brandon Bean yesterday.
Yeah.
I think he emulates Bean. He talks to Bean a lot. You know, and it is hard for fans to hear. They've had 10 years of this.
It's funny. I'll
say garbage, and it is hard for fans to hear. But he doesn't want to be tempted by, you know, overpaying somebody or overterm. That's one of the reasons they're in the spot they're in, is all these bad contracts that they have gotten hung with over the years, and they're hung with another one with Jeff Skinner. And, you know, we can just go right down the line. And you can start with Ehrhoff and Leno, and you can just keep going. And even a lot of the free agents like Mazaros and Benoit, and just their unrestricted free agency has been a horror show for this team. It's like watching Alfred Hitchcock Presents or something. It's just been horrible. The Twilight Zone. And I agree 1,000% that is not the way to build a team. I agree with him that he didn't dive into the free agent market and overpay. As I said, I'm not paying Linus Allmark for 4 years. I'm not paying Linus Allmark $5 million a year. I'm just not. And as I said, that's a contract that I think is going to be regretted. You know how much I admire Blake Coleman. I am not giving Blake Coleman what he got in unrestricted free agency. I'm just not. As much as I admire the player and as much as I thought that player could help, that is a contract that is going to be regretted. And so I get all that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, like, there are lots of contracts that are regretted. And, you know, the Sabres could say they have some. Every team that finished in front of them has contracts they regret, too. Like, would you bet that Boston, despite regretting that Allmark contract, finished in front of the Sabres all 4 years of it? You know, like, at some point. And this is kind of like to the point about Howard saying, like, when are they going to
strike? But they drafted well. I mean, you look at the Boston Bruins, you know, they weren't built on unrestricted free agency. Bergeron, Pastrnak, in goal, Rask, Marchand, their defense, McElroy, those are guys that they drafted. They drafted very well and made some good trades. Maybe they filled in with unrestricted free agents, and that's not how they built their team.
No, it's funny. Like, there's a chart I saw about draft capital, and this probably comes as a surprise to nobody, but in the entire NHL, the team with the most draft capital in the last decade was the Sabres, because they drafted so often at the top, right? You had multiple number one picks and number two picks and number eight picks, and they are where they are because outside of the guys they took at the top, it's just been tons of misses. You know, you shouldn't probably expect third and fourth rounders to hit and contribute, but every once in a while they do. And Paul, this might be part of the Sabres' frustration for fans
as
well.
It absolutely is.
Well, because some of the guys that you actually feel like, all right, well, you did all right there with Borgen. You did all right there with Ullmark. Even when they do successfully develop a guy, he's going somewhere else. And right at this stage, I realize it's temporary, but it comes at the end of a pretty long desert of success. It's tough not to feel like the Sabres are a little bit of a farm team right now. You know, if they don't commit to Dahlin in the right way, right? Are they about to do what they did with Reinhart? Are they going to do that with Cousins? Are they going to do that with Mittelstadt? Are they going to be afraid of long-term deals because they got bit on so many? You know, you mentioned the UFA deals. There are plenty of, you know, other ones that along the way they didn't really like. Myers, right? Tyler Myers got a big contract and quickly became like, oh, geez, this isn't going well. So I wonder about the economics of it. I wonder about the team and if they will be a little gun-shy on all kinds of deals. If they want to go into the Golisano mindset of like, I wish we could do one-year deals all the time.
Yeah, that's what they're doing now, but I it doesn't sound to me like that's what they're going to keep doing for the future. It's like they're filling in now. It's like, all right, we need a tough guy. John Hayden isn't exactly what we're looking for, so for 1 year he can protect Dahlin, and then maybe we'll have somebody different that the guy I have in mind. Yeah. Guys that can actually play the game and you know, Mark Pesek. You know, that's a good pickup for them. He's going to be a good player for them. It's only a one-year deal, but, you know, that he's a good player, and he's going to be a solid player for them. You know, is it? But, again, everything was just one-year deals, because, you know, what do we have? We have to find out. Yeah, they do. They do have to find out, and it's not going to be fun for the fans. And the thing we're talking about, we're not talking about either, what is the return on Eichel? We still don't know that yet. Are there going to be any players coming back at all that are going to help this year? Or is it going to be high-end youngsters, you know, that are a year or two down the road? So that's probably what it's going to wind up being. But, you know, that's a big hole right now that, as we move forward and wonder what the Buffalo Sabres are going to be like, it's hard to know that. It's hard to predict that, not knowing what return they're going to get for Jack Eichel.
And if there's one – sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah,
if there's one other team, blueprint's not the word here, but the situation the Sabres are in. At one point last year, I got a call and was asked to go on a radio station in Ottawa to talk about everything that's wrong about the Sabres, what's happening.
Was it one segment you were on or a whole?
It was what in the world's going on down there. You're right. Ottawa's calling Buffalo, and we talk about it. And the hosts that had me on, the tone that they had was like, wow. I mean, hey, our team's bad, but we're not mad about it. Like, we see things happening here. Yeah. Ottawa finished in sixth place in a 7-team division in the North. And, you know, they were 51 points, which is not good. But that is 14 points ahead of the Sabres. And I think that if you are the Sabres and if you are someone that wants to be on the side of optimism and enjoying it, I got the sense that Ottawa, who might feel like they're kind of dead in the water a year ago, right? How many stars did they say goodbye to along the way? They were good. They didn't have this drought. They were really good. And then it all fell apart, and they got rid of everybody, and they got a bunch of prospects, and they started to build up from the bottom. And last year they were bad, but they didn't hate it. They kind of see what's coming. And I think that's probably, I mean, best case scenario is a strong term for this, but it's probably what the Sabres envision is, you know what, we have a fan base that if we show them, you could say hard work, you could say a lot of things, you show them little glimpses and they'll bite into it. That even happened, if we're being honest, guys, that happened last year when Granato took over. The most unwatchable thing you've ever seen in your life, we would say to people, you know, you might want to tune back in.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as it was. You know, things appear to be, there are bright spots, and I guess they're going to look for a season of that.
Yeah, they are, and it's funny. I went out in Vancouver, and they said the same exact thing. They, well, Canucks fans, you thought it was bad here, did you? That's exactly what the guy said. He goes, wow. It could be worse.
You could be that's Buffalo. Right. That's great. That's right. Paul, one last thing I was curious about. To you, when you were discussing about contracts a moment ago, Kevin Adams, and I get Pesek and the Butchers and the Haydens and all that, the one-year deals now, completely get it. There's nobody worth a multiple-year deal anyway. But they're talking about Dahlin. Maybe it's an 8-year contract. Adams yesterday talked about how he liked short-term deals. Keep guys hungry. You know, and you said the Skinner contract, the Oposo contract, stuff that they're probably like, oh, is that, but yet he might give out an 8-year deal to Dahlin. So I guess I'm wondering what the philosophy about shorter term, keeping guys hungry, is that, do you think, an overall, here's how you build your roster philosophy contract-wise, or just for the next year or two? There's no need to lock on to anybody other than like a Dahlin or maybe even a Jokiharju.
I think it's for the next year or two because, and he said this at least twice, we have to find out what we have. And in other words, all right, probably not all these young players we have are going to work out. And he goes, once we find out what we're going to have, then we're going to pay those guys. Those are the guys that are going to get paid. Then we're going to give them proper contracts. Type of thing. So it's like, we're not going to do it now. And maybe in Dahlin's case, I don't think Dahlin would accept an 8-year deal unless you went goofy money on it and paid him what he thinks he can get. I think Dahlin, I think he would try to bet on himself, thinking he can really cash in if he takes a 2-year deal or something like that, and then shows them that, hey, I have improved. I'm a lot better than what you've seen, but it's basically he put it. You know, we have to find out what we have, and then those are the guys. And then we have to properly, you know, give those guys the contracts, pay them, and then move forward, type of thing. So it sounds like, you know, that's what it doesn't sound like. Unrestricted free agency is really going to be anything that they're going to really sink their teeth into, nor should they, you know, but, you know, trades, yes. And, you know, the guys that show them that they're going to be part of this long term, they're going to be the ones that are going to wind up getting the money and getting the contracts.
Okay, Mr. Hamilton, stay on call, okay? Don't go too far from your pager. By the way, thank you for solidifying how freaking old you are by using two black and white TV shows as references earlier. Alfred Hitchcock Presents in the Twilight Zone. Nice. Circa 1959 and 1962. Good job.
They're still on, though.
Yes, they are. I know. I actually watched Twilight Zone. It's a really good show. Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. Have a nice weekend.
Talk to you later.
Okay, Paul. Paul brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax. We got this. 803-0550 to join us. Hey, when we get back, we're going to throw in a quick, if you don't mind, F1 segment coming up. There was a really good article about Drive to Survive in the New York Times. And the guy who wrote it is going to join us in a moment. Plus, there's a race Sunday in Hungary at 9 o'clock in the morning. And Red Bull versus Mercedes has gone to another level after what happened in the last race between Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton.
I saw that Red Bull's not letting it go. They reconstructed it.
Right. They tried to have a review yesterday. And yeah, right. This is getting crazy, Jeremy, about it. Like, they're really angry. Like,
yeah,
I can't drive to survive next year with that incident in that race and what's going on between Mercedes and Red Bull will be really fun to watch. Just to see if they behind the scenes stuff with the two managing, you know, with Christian Horner and Toto Wolff. These guys generally don't like each other. Let's see. What was I going to say? Okay, anyway, Luke Smith is coming up. Phone line's open. You want to talk Sabres, you want to talk Bills football, something else you want to get to, that's fine. 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550 here on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sunday morning, 8:55. Hungarian Grand Prix, very excited, F1. Hey, let's. This is really cool. I look forward to having Luke on the show. He wrote a really cool piece about Drive to Survive, its impact on the U.S., in the U.S. for F1. And, you know, Jeremy and I are just like many of you probably that binged the series, watch it when we can, and now are F1 fans. So Luke Smith covers F1 for Autosport. He wrote that piece in the New York Times, and he's joining us right now on the Western Hotline. Luke, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Happy Friday.
Good morning, guys. Happy Friday. How are you both doing?
Oh, we're doing well. You know, I got to tell you, I want to ask you about Drive to Survive, but hey, Luke, the last couple of weeks for you and your fellow media members, this whole Mercedes Red Bull Max versus Lewis thing has really gone to a new level.
Yeah, it's been incredible. I think it's been sort of the big explosion that this title fight was really waiting for. I think we were waiting for the moment that things would boil over and we finally sort of see things heat up between the two of them. And obviously that happened so dramatically at Silverstone. But it's kind of just run and run since then. Like, we've had both sides sort of firing shots at each other. Red Bull absolutely refusing to back down. And obviously came to a head yesterday when the FIA finally ruled that there could be no further penalty and there was nothing more to say. And it's kind of, I think, not painted the best light on Red Bull because they've been so vocal about it. And it's all come to nothing in the end.
And by watching Drive to Survive, you tell me, but by watching Drive to Survive, we've learned that apparently the team principals for Red Bull and Mercedes are not the best of friends. What about the relationship between Verstappen and Hamilton?
Well, yeah, that's, I think, the big question mark moving forward now, because I think two of them have always had quite a respectful relationship, and Lewis has always kind of welcomed the idea of like this new young pretender who's going to sort of challenge him be the next great in Formula One. And I think that Silverstone was the first time we really saw that boil over. And afterwards, Max was quite vocal in his criticism of Lewis. He said that he was disrespectful in his celebrations, given that Max was going to hospital at the time. And yesterday, he was asked about that, and he didn't back down. He said he still stood by that. He found it disrespectful that Lewis was going around waving this flag and celebrating while he was in hospital having some precautionary checks. And it's, I think it's quite interesting. We know that Lewis did call Max to try and sort of like clear the air a bit. They were quite coy on sort of how successful that was. And it kind of sounds like both drivers think that they didn't do anything massively wrong. And I think moving forward now, that respect that was between them, that has definitely been broken to some extent. And it's just a case of, is it going to lead to more of these incidents through the rest of the season?
The race on Sunday, does the track favor one of the two teams in particular?
I would say it probably goes more towards Red Bull. I think their car has worked a little bit better on the sort of tighter and twistier tracks. The track in Hungary, it's known as Monaco without the walls because it's really, really technical. But on the other side of that, Lewis Hamilton, I think he's won at the track something like 6 or 7 times. He's got an incredible record in Hungary. He took his first win for Mercedes there back in 2013. He's won another 70-odd races with them since. This would be his 100th victory if he could win this weekend. So, it's going to be interesting. And the opening practice, it was really close between the two teams as well. So I think it's going to be a really close one.
Luke, we referenced your piece in the New York Times. And, you know, Jeremy and I, when there are times we will bring up F1 or Drive to Survive, and we'll get the occasional tweet, hey, guys, I watched the show, heard you talk about it, watched the show, now I'm hooked into F1. Are there measurable numbers that they can look at and say, this is what that series has meant to F1 in the United States?
I think to put a precise number on it, I think would be very difficult. But I think that, as I wrote about in the piece, I think it's pretty undeniable the impact it's had. I think that you can look at things such as the TV figures with ESPN. I spoke to them about it, and they said that it's been a sustained rise. It's really, really in a really strong place now. Obviously, since it left NBC at the end of 2017, it's really, really picked up. And I think part of that is down to the Drive to Survive impact. But also, you look at the USGP ticket sales for the race in Austin in Texas. I mean, they've sold out that race pretty much now for this year. There's talk of a possible second race the weekend after as well in Austin, which, again, I think they would do very, very well with the ticket sales for that because there is now so much interest. And, I just think it's absolutely huge. Like, we're just seeing more American sponsors, more American fans. I mean, even the fact that you guys are, like, taking such a deep interest in F1 and talking about it on your show, that really just points to the impact that Drive to Survive has had, because I think without it, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
Right. I wouldn't be watching F1 without that show.
There you go.
Yeah. And I think it's cool. You know, again, I'm all for any of these behind-the-scenes shows, whether it's F1 or, you know, the NFL or anybody. But I thought it was interesting, and you referenced this in your piece. When I started watching in season one, knowing nothing about F1, I did eventually realize, hey, Mercedes is, like, really good, and you don't hear about them in season one. So can you talk a little bit about, apparently at least two teams were resistant to the idea of having that much access. Are they all very comfortable now allowing, quote, people to see inside?
Yeah, it has really changed, because I think when they first announced the plans for the series and the producers went and spoke to the teams and were like, right, this is our idea, most of the teams were like, oh, you have no idea what you're getting into. Like, such a secretive world because we all want to beat each other. But, 8 of the 10 teams said, no, we're going to give you access. And they kind of struck a middle ground in terms of how much they could show and places where they could sort of be like, oh, you're not allowed to see that.
Right.
But Mercedes and Ferrari, they were fighting for the championship at the time. So they were like, we're not going to get involved. And I think that the moment that season one came out and really showed the impact of the show and just what good it was, I think that changed their opinion completely. And Toto Wolff, he said that they sort of know what to expect now with Netflix. Nobody's going to act like Brad Pitt or a Hollywood actor or anything. And I think that really showed last year, because of the COVID sort of safety rules, the teams, if they had Netflix with them for the weekend, they had to, like, stay in the same hotel as the team, they had to travel mm-hmm. with the team and really be embedded, and they were very comfortable to do that. So I think they all see that the benefits of the show really do outweigh any possible drawback of sort of giving that access and having someone on the inside.
Luke, final thing for you. A couple weeks ago, we started seeing pictures of what the 2022 cars might look like, will look like. What are your thoughts on that from what you saw?
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I think it's putting F1 hopefully into a bit of a more exciting direction. I think that it's going to be a little bit slower than the cars are now, which obviously is sort of, it's just one of those things that car speeds do go back and forth in time. But it is hopefully going to lead to a better on-track product. The drivers will be able to sort of race wheel-to-wheel a little bit more. They won't sort of struggle as much as they do at the moment if they're following another car. So hopefully that leads to more overtaking, more on-track action, which is really great to see. And I think the car looks pretty cool as well, which is obviously very important. We want these cars to be pretty good looking. It's quite accurate, I think, in terms of what we will end up with in 2022 as well. But I think it's a good future for the sport, hopefully. And all of the teams are pretty much now fully focused on next year and getting their cars ready. So I think it's going to be a good first step, hopefully.
Well, enjoy the racing weekend, Luke. And as always, thank you for coming on our show and talking a little F1 with us.
Been a pleasure, guys. Thank you so much.
Luke Smith for Autosport. Again, find his piece in the New York Times on Drive to Survive. Speaking of Netflix, by the way, and F1 just tweeted out, Netflix is going to be airing in September the definitive story of Michael Schumacher, 7-time F1 world champion. A brand new documentary called Schumacher will be out on Netflix on September 15th. So another F1 series coming to Netflix. When we get back, well, actually, we're going to have Sal coming up at 8. Sorry, almost jumped the gun there a little bit. Sal will join us today with the latest on Bill's training camp. They will be back at work today. 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
got two things to get to here. A quick segment before we talk to Sal. Corey tweets in, connect with our fans, brought to you by Bond, Shenick, and King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. My walk this morning at 5:30 had a very elite season feel to it. I'd just like to say I went outside this morning, first thing.
No.
Got a little chill in the air.
Let's stop. It's not even August 1st.
I turned around expecting to catch a football. I thought, come on. I got a feel.
It's July, whatever day it is. It's not August 1st. I know that. Can I just please still enjoy summer before you give me the elite season?
Yesterday
fall?
Was oppressively humid for a while. So, no.
Please cry me a river.
Elite season soon.
The two of you make me crazy.
Anyway, another story, NFL story. Jonnu Smith, Patriots tight end. I love Jonnu Smith. I'm conflicted because I believe he has been underused his entire career. I really wanted him for the Bills. I want him to be awesome. Then he signed with the Patriots, so I kind of don't want him to be awesome, but I do want him to be awesome. Anyway.
You don't have him on any of your fantasy teams?
I have a lot of Jonnu Smith. I love Jonnu Smith. I think he is a great talent and could be just a really great weapon. I really wanted him for the Bills this offseason. Didn't happen. I mean, he got a lot of money to go to New England. Anyway, he talked about Mac Jones yesterday. So Patriots training camp, you know, we're the preseason pledge. Now we have to take it for other teams. Hmm. Right? Because the Bills, we know the Bills are good. So if they do something good at camp, of course, they're good. If something bad happens at camp or in the preseason, Josh Allen throws two picks to the Lions in a couple weeks. We kind of have to – it's fine. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter. Now we have to take the preseason pledge for other teams. Because I don't know if you know this, Howard. Mac Jones, he's legit.
Oh, already? He's, from the first two days of practice?
Jonnu Smith on Mac Jones. Quote, I didn't expect Mac to have the kind of swagger that he's got. Mac, hell of a guy, great energy, and just bringing life to the locker room. Always laughing, smile on his face, loves football. You can't ask for a better quarterback.
I feel like you could, but whatever. No, look, we've lived there too. Yeah, we've all lived in the whole get carried away with preseason. I know I have, and I try not to anymore. But we've all, you know, young guy comes in, here's another guy raving about him, like, oh, wow, whatever. It's all words. I wouldn't say noise, but it's all words, and most of it is meaningless. But like I said, we've gone through that, too, with Bills players over the years. So I'm not going to. Did anybody track his stats yet in New England? We haven't seen, like, are they doing a daily, here's what Mac Jones's stat line was? Haven't seen that for Tua. I don't know if are we going to hear Jets reporters every day raving about how great Zach Wilson now looks at training camp? So I know that's how we report. That's what we talk about. Those are the observations we make at practice. I'm sure at some point we would have said J.P. Lossman looked really great. I don't know if we actually had a great day for J.P. Lossman in training camp. Anyway, my point is, sure, this is your pledge, right? Let's not get too crazy. Don't freak out thinking, oh my God, the Patriots have found the next Brady. Nor if
I mean,
Tua,
probably
if Tua
better than Brady. If we're being
he's probably better. Well, yeah. And if Tua throws five picks at a minicamp workout, let's not freak out and go, oh, my Lord, they've got to trade for Deshaun Watson today. So I'm going to try and stay on an even keel and take your preseason pledge. I'm better at preseason pledges than I used to be.
Do you know Mac Jones's full name and or real name? He is not named Mac.
I'm going to go Mac is short for McKenzie.
That's a good guess. That is not correct, though. Could be short for McIntosh. Could be short for
McLemore.
Ooh.
Could be.
Ooh.
His first name is Michael. Oh. His middle name is McCorkle.
McCorkle?
Yeah. So
Michael McCorkle.
Michael McCorkle Jones, a.k.a. Mac Jones. Go ahead and call him McCorkle Jones from now on?
Yes, I think McCorkle is. That's like Samson Reinhardt. McCorkle's much better than Mac.
Yes. McCorkle Jones.
Yeah, I think so. I love McCorkle Jones, yeah.
Who doesn't like McCorkle Jones?
I feel like that's
a kid show. That like,
I was going to say,
detective
wasn't
show?
That a series of books about a detective, right? Like,
right. I would respect Mac Jones more if it was McCorkle Jones.
McCorkle, right.
I would respect him much, much more if he was going by McCorkle Jones.
Read how McCorkle Jones breaks the latest case in his new novel.
With the 15th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the New England Patriots select McCorkle Jones.
I think that's a USA Network TV series, McCorkle Jones.
Yeah.
That's like he's a sleuth.
No,
guy,
that's
right?
On the CW.
CW. I gotcha. McCorkle Jones.
McCorkle Jones.
That's much better than Mac.
McCorkle Jones was in Cars 4, right? I'm pretty sure.
There's been four of those?
I don't even know if there's a fourth Cars, but he's the main character. And if there's Toy Story 5, McCorkle Jones is going to be in.
Are they coming out with a Toy Story 5?
I don't know. They were not supposed to do a four, and then they did it.
Yeah, you got careful. You got.
They're going to make a third Finding Nemo sort of movie, and it's going to be Finding McCorkle.
Yeah.
McCorkle.
I think we should call him McCorkle Jones.
I think so, too. I agree.
Or is that one of those names that's a negative? Like, McCorkle Jones, you get in this house right now. Like, I feel like that's, right? You don't say, Mac Jones, you get in here right now. It is, when you're angry at him when he was a kid, I think that's when you would have gone with the whole, McCorkle Jones, we need to talk. What do you mean? What are you doing getting a C- in science? I don't know, McCorkle.
There's so many avenues you can go with. The Simpsons had a character, McGarnagle.
They did, huh?
Yeah, McGarnagle.
I like McCorkle better than McGarnagle.
Yeah.
It's got a nice flow to it, McCorkle.
Michael McCorkle Jones.
Mm, yeah, that's cool. That is a solid name. You know, I hope he wins the quarterback duty just for McCorkle being worked into headlines and stories and all that stuff. Mr. Capaccio is on the way. Bills are practicing.
You learn on this show, huh?
It's a very educational show. So that's why I listen. Sal is on the way. We'll get the latest on the Bills. A couple signings yesterday and practices continuing. Going to hear from Leslie Frazier at 9:15 this morning when he chats with the media. So we'll cover some football in a moment. 803-0550 to join us when we get back on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.